I mean, actually, mind is a good translation of citta, because citta is sort of the kind of the framework, the container, or the space that is then utilized by all the different aspects of mind. But it has this fundamental, say, potential for awareness, and then there's all the moods of the mind, all the movement of the mind. This is what when Ajahn Chah went to pay respects to Ajahn Mun. This was really the big thing that he came away from his meeting with Ajahn Mun, was the advice that Ajahn Mun gave to start discerning and recognizing more clearly what's the difference between the mind and the moods of the mind. So that there's this fundamental mind base that has its potential of clarity and knowing. And then there's all the moods of the mind, the moods of joy and sorrow, the moods of sort of intelligence and confusion, the moods of the irritation or kindness and compassion. All of these are moods of the mind, moods of the mind, objects of the mind, and underlying that is this sort of fundamental mind base, the mind itself. That is. When we're sitting and meditating and practicing, to, as you're breathing in, experiencing the mind and really taking that observation and discernment to sort of cut through, what's just the mood, the object, the content of the mind, and what is the fundamental mind base? What's the fundamental, and that experiencing the citta in its simplicity and its openness, that is a really coming back to that experiencing the citta, and recognizing the citta as that potential. And we have the potential of being very peaceful, unshaken, because that's, in the same way that the images that are often used, like the sky and the clouds, where the sky is just, you have this open blue sky, and then you have the clouds that pass through it, the sun, the moon, they sort of pass through the sky, but behind it all, and we get attracted to the make all the commentary on the clouds, on the sun, on the different things that we see in the sky, and we don't pay much attention to the sky itself. We take it for granted. And similar with the mind, we get attracted to, we get averse to, we get confused by, we get intellectually stimulated by the content of the mind. the moods that pass through the mind, and we fail to direct attention to that mind, the mind of knowing, the mind of that is able to just be present, to be clear, to know clearly. So that experiencing the mind, and this is where it's so necessary to develop the stillness within the mind. The mind is there all the time, and we can take it for granted. Distract ourselves from it. It's there all the time. But we need to attend to it in a way that we start to appreciate its potential, so that the stillness, if we're always stirring it up, always adding things to it, always proliferating within it, then we fail to recognize its potential. We fail to taste the fruit of the say the potential of the mind. So to the meditation and the developing of stillness, the still, settled, clear mind, it gives us a window of opportunity to recognize more clearly that potential within the mind. And those developing of samadhi is it's a necessary part of the cultivation. And the samadhi has conditions, and it has it comes and goes, and it's sometimes on a seemingly random basis, but you keep plugging away at it because it gives us an opportunity to experience the mind. And as we experience the mind, then we can start to recognize, okay, this is mind, and these are the objects of mind. This is the moods of the mind. And the mood of the mind can then be experienced within a framework. And it can be, and when we see that more clearly, then it's so much easier to let go of the moods of the mind, the objects of the mind, the content of the mind.